Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I mean, I don't think it's really that often you can verbatim say to the press afterwards, like, what got you thrown out? So I said, you're having a really bad day. Because you had a
bad day. Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of Nico Horner, Stanford man, telling you what he said that got him rung up by one Derek Thomas.
That's who had a bad day.
Yes.
I'll tell you who had a bad day, Derek Thomas.
That's what he
what
said.
What did he have to say for himself afterward?
Yeah, we don't know.
What did he?
I don't know.
Why don't these guys have to talk?
In the NFL, there was a moment like that, the poll reporter would go and you would get some kind of a comment.
That, though, is kind of ridiculous, I believe, because pool reports is you have one guy assigned to get the word from the officiating crew, or in this case, the umpire, and it has to be a pool report. Do these guys, can't they face questions? What's wrong with
as
that?
As a former pool reporter, you've wounded me.
I'm not trying to wound
it didn't
you.
Matter.
It has nothing to do with the pool reporter.
I wasted plenty of opportunities interviewing other people to carry out that responsibility.
It's the idea that there's a shield here that is being used, and I think the accountability factor. Just explain yourself. Why did you overreact? Why did you throw him out of the game?
That's not a question they want to hear. You know, why did you react in the way you did?
Overreact.
See, again, you're not going to get very far.
I know, but it's a loaded question.
Yes.
But I want an explanation. It was a ridiculous ejection, and it was unfair.
Now the problem is I completely agree with you. You should have said more to do so. But as I said earlier, the answer is simple. You can't argue balls and strikes. And he turned to me and he tried to show me up and argue balls and strikes. It is not allowed. In that situation, I'm supposed to throw the man out. And I did so.
Guys do it all the time.
They
argue balls and strikes.
Yes.
It depends on how short your temper is.
But, well, let me ask them, are you allowed to do it? Was he within his rights to throw out a player who argued balls and strikes?
Oh, sure.
So that's the
problem. Justifiable, but you can do that.
No, but you've got to be able to control your own emotions and be able to umpire a game with some grace by understanding. He turned and he said, you're having a bad day. And then he threw the guy out. And you know what was really funny about it? And I don't know if you find it amusing, but you could hear it. They sent out, the Marquee Network sent out
it was
a
online.
Broadcast where you could literally hear exactly what he said. You're having a bad day.
They didn't have to beep out anything.
And then he throws him out. And then Craig Counsell comes running out. He was fired up. He couldn't believe how fast he got the hook. And he comes running out, and you hear Nico Horner turn to his manager and said, and say to him, "I said you're having a bad day." Like, he repeats
right.
it.
He's pleading his case.
He says it twice.
Yeah. Nico Horner would be a great client for any lawyer because he's so earnest.
He's
right?
very earnest.
He's very earnest. Here's the positive, that maybe silver lining in this nonsense that we saw Derek Thomas begin and ensue yesterday. Nico Horner got ejected, and Craig Counsell went crazy.
Well,
based on his standard of decorum and what we're used to seeing from Craig Counsell, that was a tantrum. That was a Craig Counsell tantrum.
But it was an important, number one, you got to back your guy.
Yes.
Okay. And number two, if you're going to get thrown out, get your money's worth.
There's value in that. There's some hidden value in
there. There is. Players know you got their back.
I think players,
the team knows.
Yes. I think players know that about Craig Counsell. I think they understand that about a manager that is as polished as they come, really, with the way he presents himself publicly. But it's good to see that every now and then when you see that little flash of emotion and you see him defending a guy who didn't say anything to deserve the ejection he just received. That was not such a bad thing for the Cubs.
And it often fires up a team when the manager gets thrown out. Let's listen to what Craig Counsell had to say as to what happened after the game.
Yeah, he didn't like what Nico said, but it's just Nico's walking by. What he said is not, it's not ejectable, and you don't just eject players and change lineups and things like that.
Can you share what Nico said?
Not ejectable. No swearing, no cussing, walking away, not standing and arguing, nothing. Stands and argues. Gives him a warning, fine, nothing.
Fine, nothing. No cussing, no swearing.
Yeah, but he did. He didn't walk away. He turned to the guy and he said, "You're having a bad day."
He didn't insult him. He didn't say something about his appearance. Didn't say, "You're too this or too that."
"You're having a bad day, you little turd."
Yeah, exactly. He didn't name call.
No, he didn't.
He basically summed up what every Cub fan thought as they watched Derek Thomas struggle with the strike zone. "You're having a bad day, buddy."
I wonder, the weekend wasn't great for the officiating crew, and I'm sure that was in the minds of many people as they saw him confront him on the Sunday game.
Saturday was bad, too.
Yeah, and yet, I wonder, does anyone actually believe, and if you do, please call us, 312-644-6767. That the Cubs lost that series due to bad officiating?
No, I don't think that.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
No, but I think that it's a distracting detail to what happened over the weekend.
Yes,
it's distracting because it got a lot of attention. It was so egregious that I think we're paying attention to it.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, the Tigers are better than the Cubs.
It didn't matter.
It didn't matter
to the outcome of the game.
The Tigers are better than the Cubs because they have Tarek Skubal, an ace, one of the best pitchers in baseball. They have Jack Flaherty, a nice number two.
Yeah.
He's the prototypical number two starter. And those guys were dealing, and the Cubs don't have that kind of starting pitching depth. Jameson Taillon pitched like an ace on Saturday.
Yes, he did.
And he has been very good lately.
Yes, he's been very professional in everything he does.
If we're trying to be consistent and going into the series, we said, boy, it feels like 1984. It could be a World Series preview. Some of us got a little carried away. And then because see what happened.
The Cubs didn't get there in 84.
No, they didn't. I know.
But the
minor detail.
The Tigers did win.
But they were the two best teams. It's all Leon Durham's fault. The Tigers did to the Cubs what the Cubs have been doing to teams all season long. They got great pitching, they played great defense, and they got clutch hitting. And that's why they won 2 out of 3. The Cubs, they just didn't hit, and they couldn't get to Skubal, they couldn't get to Flaherty, and they managed a meager one run in those two losses. You're not going to win many games that way. They're not good enough right now to beat the Tigers. But they did go into Sunday's game over the previous 25 games, best team in the majors, with an 18-7 record. So I wouldn't overreact to losing a series in Detroit. You could win two out of three in Philadelphia and still have a 500 road trip.
It's funny to me, though, because you've been, you know, you've been glazing Cade Horton since he came up. And now all of a sudden you want him to have an opener.
I'm keeping an open mind.
And we got a couple of texters that don't like that idea and feel like you're babying him.
I understand that because I do think there's an element of coddling, if you will, that if starting pitchers need to take the first inning off before they come in and they remove the anxiety and it's a different matchup and all those things – I just think that I'm trying to accept the trend here. I don't like openers necessarily, but I do think that in some cases they work and you can't ignore that data either. So I'm trying to balance that because it did work with Ben Brown. It seemed to turn his last couple starts around. I wonder if it could have the same effect. I guess I'm just thinking out loud. I wonder if it could have the same effect on Cade Horton because he seemed to struggle in the first inning lately.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
More so than the rest of the game.
I just worry about him being available at the end of the year because he's doing a fine job as far as I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, what's the most innings he's pitched? It's relatively few. And, you know, if you can build him up to 100 innings this year, it'd be a real... It'd be wonderful, but that doesn't get you to where you want to go.
You're going to have to watch that at some point.
Yeah.
I do wonder how similar or different it is from the Garrett Crochet experience last year for the White Sox. When you have somebody who one day is projected to be the ace of your staff, and this is in Cade Horton, that's who he is to the Cubs' future. But in the present, you have to be conscious of the fact that he doesn't have 125 innings in him probably this year. Or whatever. What is the number? I don't know that the Cubs have ever established a number.
Yeah.
But at some point in time, you're going to...
There probably is a number, though.
Yeah, I think so.
Just based on the way teams go about it.
I definitely think there's a number.
There's a thing called dead arm that kicks in. I'm not saying him, but with pitchers. Like at some point or other, somebody could go through a rough patch as you watch what's happening in this season, not just with the Cubs, with anybody. So it's just these are things that are normal sort of issues with pitchers as seasons go on, and you got to be aware of them.
Well, Cade Horton has been very consistent in his outings. His first outing against the Mets, he wasn't the starter. He came in, as we said, as the second pitcher with an opener. He pitched four innings, but since that point, he's gone at least five. And in his third start, he went six innings. So he's given the Cubs that quality outing, and those have been welcome starts and appearances because they have been compromised without Justin Steele all season long, and Shota Managa for a very long time now. And then Shota pitches tomorrow in Arizona. I wonder how quickly he can come back into the rotation, and then what do they do then? Maybe that's an opportunity for them to rest Horton or to ration his innings. They're going to have to. They're going to have to do something because this is a young man you want to make sure that you don't sacrifice the future because of the needs of the present.
I think they need to get them – I think, you know, ideally, and this is just pie-in-the-sky stuff, but who is this year's who would be, if we go back to 84, who would be this year's version of Sutcliffe?
Well, that was the best trade in season the Cubs ever made, and it made all the difference in the world. But that's
he was unbelievable.
That is what we're getting at, because when you look at what the Cubs lack, third base has been answered. Matt Shaw's been very good. He had that stroke on Saturday, hitting that home run. That looked like the guy the Cubs promoted quickly through the system.
He had a rough at bat where they talked about it on the broadcast, where he wasn't he was late on the pitch, mm-hmm. and he kind of bounced one up in the infield, and that was a bad at bat just because it was the same problem that you saw at the beginning of the year and you really hadn't seen since.
But overall, I think you'd agree, he has answered that question to the point where that's not as high of a priority as some other things.
Oh, no. The highest priority, as we saw in what was, you know, portrayed as a potential World Series matchup, was starting pitching.
Yes, starting
pitching. They got to get a starting pitcher. And now, we knew that from the minute they lost Justin Steele.
Who's available? It's June 9th. So there's not going to be the same availability of the kind of caliber of pitcher you're looking for another month at least. Now, maybe you could go out and proactively, aggressively offer the Marlins something for Sandy Alcantara, who's not been great this year but might be available. Okay, perhaps. But he's one of the names you're going to hear. On Saturday on Inside the Clubhouse, Bruce mentioned Zach Eflin from the Baltimore Orioles as being somebody who might be on the market. Merrill Kelly is a name that Bruce also mentioned.
Merrill Kelly has been out there, as has the other guy.
Zach Gallen.
Gallen, because they're both out of contract at the end of the year, and it would make sense if your seasons go in pear-shaped to move on and then rebuild at the end of the year.
And their season is not going well. They're 31-34. They're 7.5 games out of a very tough division, unlikely to pass the Padres and Dodgers at the top, and maybe even get by the Giants, who are surprisingly 10 games over. So you're right, Gallen and Kelly. You mention Alcantara all the time. Bruce mentioned Eflin. And I think that the wild card in some of these conversations, it's fun to consider from a Chicago perspective, but where are the Atlanta Braves? Oh, they're 10 games under.
Yeah.
They're 10 games under with Chris Sale making $19 million a year.
Yeah.
If Chris Sale goes on the market, you try to rush to the front of the line if you're Jed Hoyer, and you are willing to give up a lot for that kind of impact on your rotation.
Well, I mean, you know, here's the thing. Are you willing to give up the farm? Because that is the problem that the Cubs have, that they have a farm. They have a lot of really good young players. And when people are trading guys, they want a lot of really good young players.
Just don't touch the major league roster.
You would trade away anybody else?
I think it depends on where you are at the point you're making that trade. And if the caliber of pitcher is Chris Sale in return, I think you're more willing to go for it this year. This feels like, if we're going to make the connection to 2016 and last week we were talking about the similarities and differences between the two seasons.
Yeah.
But if your similarity, one of those is you see an opening and you see, you know, can you run to daylight? And you see that daylight. Well, yeah, I think you're more willing to sacrifice something about the future for what could be a very special present. Yes, I think you might be.
Ballesteros, Owen Casey, mm-hmm. Alcantara.
Well, That's a lot for a guy who has 1 year left on his. I think that's a lot. You're getting a little carried away.
I'm telling you.
Let's go back to 2016.
Are you willing to give up the farm?
Gleyber Torres, who was playing second base for the Tigers over the weekend. Yep. That's fun to see him and Javi and have all those connections. But he was what it took to get Aroldis Chapman in 2016.
Yes.
Aroldis Chapman was a closer that put the Cubs over the top. Who's the starter to put the Cubs over the top this year? That's going to be a source of speculation for the next month and a half. I don't know that it's going to take three prospects.
Does it bother you? That's why I'm just asking you what you'd give up. And I said to you, when you have a farm, they want the farm. And you said anybody not on the major league roster. You basically gave carte blanche, and now you're like, well, no, wait a minute.
I'm like a realtor. I want you to make me a realistic offer. I don't want you to make an offer, and I'm going to like, oh, jeez, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, so I think sometimes you gotta pay top dollar to get the hottest house on the market.
I wonder what it would take to get a pitcher of that caliber. And it doesn't have to be Sale necessarily. Who else might be available by the deadline that we're not talking about now? When you look at the national guys, I think John Morosi was on the score on Friday afternoon with Luke Kanellis and Mark Grody. And he said something similar about needing to go out before the deadline. Everybody understands what the Cubs lack. The question and the fun will be, how do they get what they need? And who are they willing to give up to make that happen? So,
well, I would say you can't go half-arsed on it, David. You can't, like, say, well, we need the best we can get, and if we can do that, we might be able to win this thing, and then say, well, we don't want to give up that much, so let's just get kind of a mediocre to decent guy.
No, I agree with you.
You got to get the best.
You've got to view this season, if you get to that point and you're still – you still have a healthy lead in the Central, and you're still among the best teams in the National League. You've got to view the trade deadline as what puts you over the top and gives you a chance to win a championship.
So do you have to overpay?
Probably so.
And the reality is you will have to pay more than other people that don't have what you have.
Mm-hmm.
That stinks, but that's the reality of it.
It also doesn't stink as badly as the idea. It doesn't stink that badly because you're putting yourself in a position to be better this year. So if you win, the end justifies the means, and that's the position you want to be in. It's a luxury, actually. You got a team president in the final year of his contract. There's urgency galore. You got Kyle Tucker for one season. Go for it. That's what you want to be. That's where you want to be on June 9th.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. amazon.com/prime.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Audacy Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.